Greetings, dear, dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of The Working Experience, a very warm, open-arm audio embrace and a squeeze. This episode is brought to you by my company, One Circle Media. One Circle Media is a hybrid digital agency and media content creator. We create and design apps, websites, videos, social media content, and physical products. We are artists, directors, designers, producers, coders, editors, thinkers, makers, and creators who embrace story and creativity from design, web and app development, animation, docs, features, TV shows, digital and social media content to physical products. For our clients, we create content that builds networks and audiences across multiple platforms. Check out our work at onecircledigital.com and onecirclebrand.com. If you work for a network, studio, brand, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I'd love to hear from you. This episode is also brought to you by an app that I created called Still Believe. Still Believe transforms a picture in your home into video proof of your child's favorite magical characters. With the app, parents can catch the magic of the Tooth Fairy, leaving money under their children's pillow, or Santa delivering presents on Christmas Eve in their home. You download the app, take a picture, and we create the magic. We utilize feature film visual effects artists to transform your picture into video. Just tell your kids that you have a special app that can detect and capture the Tooth Fairy, then present them with the video proof in the morning. The look on their faces is priceless. Your Still Believe video is created in minutes, and you can then save it to your phone and share it on social media. The app is available for the iPhone and Android, and it's free to download. Our aim is to bring joy and wonder into the hearts of children around the world. Check it out at stillbelieve.co. Thanks, everyone, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Working Experience.
The Working Experience.
Route 93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning. Snow and sleet.
There is no service on
the... Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks. We're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, we need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Dan, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
To stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
They're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
He was rubbing his
Sexual
toenails at his desk.
I
can't take it anymore.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Working Experience Podcast. It's Matty K.
And John, welcome. We're doing this podcast on Black Friday.
I hope you have your credit cards out because it's time to spend, baby. Spend.
Warm them up. Warm them up.
Do you know the best way to tell your family you love them? You buy them a bunch of crap, okay? That's how you do it. Right? Am I wrong?
Of course. That's the American way.
I mean, you have two sons. You just buy them a bunch of stuff, right?
I don't talk to them all year.
Yeah.
I ignore them.
Yeah.
And I don't hang out or play with them, and yeah. I just buy them stuff.
Well, it's a lot of trouble to, like, go to games and sit down with your kids and find out how their day went and all that. Is it just a lot easier to go on Amazon with your credit card and buy him like a Jets football
much
jersey
easier
or something
much
like
much
that.
The whole human interaction thing is completely overrated.
Here you go. Here's a new car. There you go. That ought to help. That ought to do it, right? Just jeez, you know.
I never got the Black Friday. I just never have you ever participated in it?
No. You know, I think I've inadvertently gone shopping on the Friday after Thanksgiving, but I never thought of it as like Black Friday. I think it was just because I was off and I figured, well, I might as well. But no. And I don't do it now. I honestly got to tell you, buying gifts over Amazon or getting someone an Amazon gift card, that's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
It's brilliant. For years, Jeannie and her mom and her sister would do the whole Black Friday thing where they would get up at midnight.
Oh, my God.
And shuffle off to the local whatever store it was and do that, you know, it would be like, look, this, you know, this thing is like 80% off. And then by the time they got to the store, it would be sold out. And I would try to reason with them that it's the old bait and switch.
I don't think like reason and Black Friday go together very well.
And they would all be exhausted from doing Thanksgiving. And then they would get up and and then they'd come back and buy stuff. And I was like, was that even on your list of stuff to get? No, but I got a good deal. Well, you didn't get a good deal. You spent more money than you intended to spend.
You know that? I see it advertised, and I don't know what it's called. It's a website where they'll say, I earned $900 last month. Where what they mean is they spent a bunch of money, and they...
Right, they saved X amount. Right.
And it's, I earned X amount of dollars. Like, you didn't earn anything. What are you talking about? Like, you spent $2,000 and claim you saved like $500. So, okay, you spent $1,500. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's just the way they couch these things makes it sound like you're making money. If you spend and you buy stuff, you're actually going to be upping your savings account, which I don't think... I'm not an economist, although I speak like one. I might as well be. But I'm not sure that's how that works. I don't know. It's along the lines of my buy high, sell low idea. I like that one. Just turn into the stock market. Yeah.
I had sent Matt an article on how many deaths that occur on Black Friday from people wanting to get the latest, I don't know, pair of socks. Other human beings die for that. I mean, it's not a lot. There's a ton of injuries, though. But people die.
Over 12 years, we found 44 separate Black Friday-related incidents, resulting in 11 deaths and 108 injuries. And, I mean, have you ever seen the video? It became... I mean, a lot of these videos are unbelievably disturbing. But there was one where this little girl is with her mother. She's probably, like, 4 years old. And she... there's this display of like Barbie or some very popular, I don't know what it was. And she picks it up and this other woman swoops in and just snatches it out of her hands.
Yes. I saw that.
It's like, I don't understand. They show this mall one time out on Long Island and there are just thousands of people jammed against these doors. And then they
shout out to Strong Island.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what's that joke about? It was something about Native Americans or something, and it says it translates into the land of malls and something else. I forget what it was. Massapequa or some name like that translates. And I think Jerry Seinfeld said it because he grew up on Long Island. But yeah, I mean, it's anyway. I mean, I live right near the South Shore Plaza, which is the biggest mall, certainly in Massachusetts. I think it's the biggest one around here. I mean, people drive from all over. But these people, it's like, it's honestly like, I feel like those videos are what the Taliban and ISIS shows their recruits. Like these.
Absolutely.
Like it's the worst of America. It's absolutely the worst of America. It's awful.
Well, it's the whole notion of like, it's like advertising in general. And the whole idea is like, look, there's nothing inherently wrong about, you know, giving gifts to people that you love and showing gratitude and getting them stuff. But it's the craziness of it. It's the buying so much stuff that you have to take the other crap in your house and get a storage unit so you can fit in the new crap.
Well, you know, I was wondering if the whole Black Friday thing has kind of become a bit passe. If people have become a little bit like, you know, I'm not.
It has with Amazon and the like. It's not as prevalent as it was, you know, 10, 20 years ago. Most people are doing or doing a decent amount of their shopping online.
You know, I love
this. But then we have, I think, like there's Cyber Monday, right?
Yeah.
That's like this, the online version of Good Friday. Not Good Friday. Black Friday.
Good Friday, yeah. it's amazing. It's like taking a hit of crack, you know? It's like people be like, oh, I got this, you know, flat screen TV for $80. Like, okay, that's great. And that's going to make you happy.
Did you need the flat screen TV?
Forget need. No. Forget any of that. But it's like, all right, that's going to make you happy for about the next, 6 months? And then you're not going to...
Oh, I think 6 months is being very generous.
Being generous. Okay, well, so let's say it's 6 months, okay? Like, all right, so now you're going to want a bigger screen TV. There's something called sensory adaptation. And I can't remember the name of the guy who I read it, who, you know, came up with the idea. But, you know, it's basically just the idea that we get used to things. You know, you buy a new car for about a year. It's, you know, you like the new car smell, blah, blah, blah. And then after a year, you know, it's like, it's not a new car anymore. Shoes, clothes, TV. I mean, you just kind of fill in the blank. So.
Well, it's an addiction. Everyone's not satisfied. You know, they're living a life of luxury. For the majority of the world, it would be a life of lavish luxury, and you're more concerned about getting the next, you know, car or the next TV or the next iPad or the next iPhone.
Yeah, and it is kind of an endless. I mean, we've touched on this I don't know how many times, but it's just like if that makes somebody happy, like let's say somebody buys a Maserati and they're just so into it. And they've had it for like 10 years and they really love it and they know a lot about it. And it makes them happy. Like, great. You know, no problem with that. But it's that I guess people continue. It's like it's just doing the same thing over and over again and it doesn't work. But you just or someone just doesn't know, like, what else to do. Like, I just keep doing the same thing. Again, it's like a drug addiction. Like, I use heroin. I feel better. For a period of time, you know, for maybe a day or two, however long it lasts. And then I feel awful. Like, I feel worse than I did before, and I'm physically sick, so I do it again. And I do it again.
Well, and it also doesn't help that, you know, the average American consumer is bombarded with hundreds, if not thousands, of messages a day telling them that they're not pretty enough or they're not rich enough or fill in the blank. And the only thing that's going to solve that problem is your product or, you know, you smell, you need this, you know, you're fat, take this. And hey, we use a couple of those advertising techniques at the Working Experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Your life is terrible. We'll tell you how to, we'll tell you how to make it better.
I can't even count the numerous claims that Matty K has made.
Yeah. Big ballin' big, right? There you go. Videos to come soon to tell you, guarantee you how to become rich. If not famous, you know. Hey.
It's guaranteed.
The store where 70% of deaths and injuries occur, this is not going to blow anyone's socks off. Walmart is where. Could you imagine telling people you got hurt because you got into a fist fight at Walmart?
Jeez.
It's
literally embarrassing for humankind.
It is. And America's at the top of the heap with this. You know, we really are. I think
I think some of the injuries are from the stampede of the doors opening.
Oh, I'm sure most of them, yes. I think, and the deaths that have occurred. This article you sent me is very interesting. It shows you the deaths that occurred, death and injuries inside the store, which are most of them. Then they're at the door, and then they're in the... Can you imagine, like, you know, being in the parking lot and getting into a fight with some guy over something? But people do this all the time.
Could you just imagine, like, you're an employee there making, like... $8 an hour, and you gotta like police these monkeys.
I know. I can't. I don't know how you do it. I mean, it's just. It really is something like, it's like something out of you know, Stephen King used to write as Richard Bachman. He wrote The Running Man and all that.
Right.
It really is like a dystopian view well, not view, it's a dystopian reality that, like, people are literally injuring each other to get at this crap that is, they're not even going to care about in 3 months. But you can't, you know, it's weird because a lot of people are very aware of this. They're also, there's a lot of videos on YouTube which are very worth watching about consumerism. People know, if you say to somebody, like, do you think if you buy more stuff you're going to be happier? I think most people would say no. Like, they intellectually understand that, but they're still going to do this, you know? I mean, I buy gifts for my family, too. You know, I mean, I don't do this. I don't go stampeding into Walmart, but, you know, I buy stuff for myself as well. So, probably
stuff that I don't need. Well, I mean, I think people buy into that story. You know, that they're going, you know, they're going to get that deal. And then it's also, they want to talk to their friends and family about how they got that, the new iPad for $3.
Yeah. Or like people come over, they want to show them the big screen TV. Obviously the car has always been a thing, a bigger house. But, you know, it's amazing, like, how people will really go into debt. I mean, they'll really damage their financial life trying to get all this stuff that they really, I think that's where you cross the line. Like, when you're buying stuff that you cannot afford and you know you can't afford it and you're already in debt and you're just still, like, leasing a new car, you know, going,
this is hitting a little bit too close to home for me.
I know. You're always stashing things, always hiding things. Well, you hear about that. I mean, you hear about people like married couples, like, hiding purchases from each other and this and that, like, and it's just, yeah, you end up with all this crap that, you know, you just, like, don't need, you don't even want it, you know. It's just like, how many pairs of shoes can you have? But again, this is just the old saw. Like, I mean, people have talked about this for decades. It's just like this mindless kind of, I do remember watching a show where it did mark, like, the 1980s is really where this took off, this sort of, like, a culture of consumerism. And it coincided with credit cards and things like that. Like, I think in the 19... Like, my parents always had this idea that they were never in debt. Like, they were never in credit card debt. I mean, mortgage, obviously, but, like, never. Like, that was their mentality. Like, you don't run up debt that you don't have to. Whereas now, you're told, go out and buy stuff. Like, it's part of your...
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah,
part
to,
of your
to
job
help
as a
the
citizen.
Economy.
Right, to help the economy. And, like, you should be using it. Use a credit card. You know, use more credit cards. Use your credit. And it was always drilled into me. I mean, I didn't follow this when I was in my 20s and early 30s, but I was never seriously in debt of my credit cards or anything like that. And it was always just kind of drilled into me. Like, look, you pay that stuff off. Don't buy stuff you don't, you know, if you can't afford it, don't buy it, basically. But that's not how the old economy
works. I mean, the only like serious debt that I've incurred is obviously a mortgage on the house and then business debt.
Well, but, those are necessary. You know, I mean, if you want to,
I mean, what's great about business debt, if it goes under, you know,
yeah,
you just
write it off.
You know, yeah, no, you write it off. Exactly. You don't go down with the ship. But the from the article, it says, the National Retail Federation estimates that 114.6 million Americans, more than 50% of the country's adult population, will participate in Black Friday shopping. Isn't that more than the percentage of people who vote in a presidential election?
Oh, way more. I think if we get over a 30% turnout for voting, that's huge. That is huge. Which is pathetic.
Unbelievable.
It's very sad. Yeah, it's very sad. There are people who wave the flag and, you know, land of the free because of the brave and blah, blah, blah. They will not take a half hour out of their day to go vote. They won't do it. And it's like, okay, isn't this kind of what everyone dies for and serves in the military? And, like, isn't that basically the right that we all need? For all the other rights, to, can't do it.
Well, here's the so the Black Friday injuries / deaths that they break down.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. It's great.
The majority of them are by stampede.
Jesus. Could you?
And two people have died from stampede.
I know.
That is awful. Then there's pepper spray.
Pepper spray
is number two.
Second on the pepper, like people pepper spraying each other for, or maybe it's crowd control. Maybe the security. I'd be pepper spraying everyone if I was security. As soon as those doors open, I just start spraying everyone.
I'd have a fire hose just unleashing.
You know how they have those pepper spray grenades that you throw?
Yes.
I'd have those. I'd have tear gas. Oh, I'd be gassing these people. No question.
Third on the list is shooting.
Jesus.
Which is, geez, that's not good. And then car accident. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And then brawl, and then stabbing.
I love the picture of the brawl. They have one, like one stick figure punching another one. Just a brawl. A good old-fashioned brawl in the middle of the store. At Christmas. Let me remind everyone, this is for Christmas. For the, even if you're not religious, the whole reason for it is the birth of Christ, who preached the Beatitudes and things like that. And this is what we've got so far.
It's just, there's like, first of all, like, why would you even want to be in that atmosphere? Like, just the long lines, people grabbing stuff, the hostility of it.
I love this one. At a Kmart in Alabama, right away.
Oh, you can stop right there. you've already painted the entire picture for me.
At a Kmart in Alabama, a brawl over a large toy car landed one man in the hospital with a shattered hip. At a Walmart in Virginia, a dispute over a parking spot led to a stabbing. A stabbing! Someone actually stabbed someone. At a Chicago area Kohl's, a man was shot in the shoulder by a police officer while attempting to steal a TV. Holy Jesus. This is unbelievable. Let's see. California, New York, West Virginia, California again, North Carolina, Texas, Nevada, New Jersey, Alabama. I have to say, I have some pride that Massachusetts does not end up here. In Palm Desert, California, two men shot each other to death after their female companions got into a bloody fist fight at a Toys R Us. Oh, my God.
Hey, that's a good message to send to the kids. They shot themselves to death?
Shot each other, like OK Corral style, I guess. They drew down on each other. People Jesus. Exhausted, driving home, getting into car accidents. In 2008, a New York Walmart employee was overrun by a crowd of 2,000 shoppers who proceeded to stream over his body as he lay on the linoleum floor.
What a way to die.
I remember this. This was like north of the city. I think it was upstate New York. And it was awful. The video, they had video of people stampeding in there. It was awful. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen. Oh, and it's not like there was a volcanic eruption or something. These people are rushing in to buy stuff that no one, that their kid is going to look at for what, a month? And then that's it? Done?
Yeah.
These people are, oh man, they are so crazy. There are these pictures in here with the old flat screen TVs. It looks like a mosh pit, except everyone in there is old and fat. Jesus.
God.
It's pretty awful. Pretty awful. But, you know, I guess that's, unfortunately, I suppose that's the way that people feel, like, you know, they want to give their kids stuff that's good. I used to, like, you know, I used to teach in the Bronx, and kids were very proud of their sneakers there. And, you know, I was always taught, like, your sneakers better not cost over $50. You know, I mean, that's you know, my parents would get stuff.
Well, I think sneakers just uniformly, my kids are into sneakers.
Yeah, that genre has really exploded. But these kids would tell me how much their sneakers cost. Like, these cost $150, $200. I'm like, $200? Like, you're in the sixth grade. But then, you know, it was pointed out to me that, like, their parents couldn't afford to take them to Disney World and things like that. What they could afford was probably on the credit card. you know, $200 for a pair of sneakers. And I was like, okay. I mean, that, you know, I never really much cared about that stuff. I just never really, you know, put a lot of stock into it, but each their own. You're right, though. People are really into sneakers these days. I remember being in a store in Manhattan. We were shooting something, and there was a pair of sneakers in there for $7,000.
Oh, God.
$7,000. And I was talking to the guy, one of the guys who worked there, and I was like, who buys sneakers for $7,000? And he said, well, like Jay-Z will come in, buy a pair, and wear them once, basically, and probably forget where they are and leave them in the hotel room or something.
I mean, that's like a disease.
Yeah, no, that is a disease. I mean, like, you could say this about me. I'm sure you could say it about you. Like, I could have used money I spent on fill in the blank and donated it to the poor. But $7,000 on a pair of sneakers, it's like, wow. I mean, that is money you could give to a homeless shelter or something like that. And, you know, he wouldn't even miss it.
Well, especially when those sneakers probably cost like $10 to make, maybe.
Yeah, they were like designer, they were one of a kind, something like that. But still, they didn't cost $7,000 to make. No, not even close.
All right, even if they were handmade,
right? Yeah,
$200.
Yeah, 500.
Maybe.
Yeah, call it $1,000. Call it $1,000. Like
right.
$7,000, and those were not the most expensive ones. I mean, there are like sneakers that cost $15,000, stuff like that. I mean, it's funny with New York, you have the most wealth. That is within vision or eye shot or whatever you want to call it of real poverty. Like you really have those two things right next to each other. And I think that does create a lot of like jealousy, envy, resentment, which like does lead to people killing each other over sneakers and stuff in the Walmart parking lot. I mean, it's a
well, sickness. it's not even that. I mean, you have like stark contrasts of wealth. I mean, you could be like considered a rich person, and then there could be a billionaire who makes you look like a pauper.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, you have the South Bronx, and you can walk to Trump Tower in, what, 45 minutes? And you can...
Well, the starkest I've ever saw with rich to poverty was in South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
It was literally like multi-million-dollar mansions, and then it wasn't even 45 minutes. It was a 3-minute walk to a shanty town.
Wow. Yeah.
And yeah, it was bad.
To a lot of fun. I remember being in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and like this friend of a friend met me at the airport, and he spent the day taking me around the city, and a beautiful city, but he was like, he spoke English pretty well, but he said, I would not recommend for someone like me just to walk around because, you know, I'm American and you can be kind of a target. But it wasn't nearly as dangerous as it's portrayed. Like, we went out to the parks and things like that. Like I say, it was gorgeous. But even, like, middle class, upper middle class people, they lived behind fences and security gates. Like, none of the houses had yard, like my yard, people just walk into, they cut through, like, I don't think anything of it. Those places, no. Like, there's a lot of security. And the very wealthy people, they don't set foot on the pavement. They come in via helicopter because they're worried about getting kidnapped and things like that. So he said it just, it's kind of crazy.
I have a buddy whose wife, her family's in Manila, and every time they go over to Manila, they have to hire bodyguards to kind of, you know, walk the streets and drive him around because, you know, they could kidnap his daughter because they're American and then, you know, name a ransom.
Yeah, I think in a lot of countries, just by the fact that you're American, you're a good target. Like, they just figure you have money. And I mean, money, if your family can scrape together $10,000, like, that's a lot of money. That's a good haul, as opposed to like $500 or something like that. So, of course, my family would be whittling them down. They'd be like, how about say
he's really not worth $100?
No. No. Listen, just spend a little time with him, and then you tell me if you want to keep him around.
Let's give it another week, and let's see if the price changes.
Yeah, let's see how you like that. But it is strange, like, what drives these people so crazy to get... It's like the gun control debate. Like, I remember debating with somebody, you know, people we've been to college with and whatever... And it always gets wrapped up in, like, what the government should do or should not do. Should there be laws against it? Should there not? Blah, blah, blah. In my view, all guns should be illegal. They should stop manufacturing them and get them out of here unless you're law enforcement. But the real question, I have to credit Michael Moore. I know, you know, you have to take Michael Moore with a grain of salt. But he does put the question, like, why do we need, forget the government, forget all of that. Why do people feel so unsafe in America that they have to arm themselves? Like, why do people feel like that? And as soon as you ask that question, the debate just kind of grinds to a halt. Because it's like, okay, let's say the government says, fine, government, hands off, you have as many guns as you want, have a bazooka, have a tank, have whatever you want, anti-aircraft missiles. Why do you feel the need to have those things? To spend all that money on that. Why? And for a lot of people, I don't know, it's sort of like they don't want to say that this is a very dangerous country because then it's like we've kind of failed. You know what I mean?
I don't
know.
Well, I think it's the same thing that, you know, media pushes those stories of fear. So you hear about the, you know, someone breaks in. There's a story that this was a couple of years ago. I think it was a convict broke out of jail, broke into this Connecticut guy's house, raped the wife, raped the two daughters, and then burnt the house. Right. So
wait, when did that happen?
It was like a couple years ago.
Wow, I don't remember that one.
And the thing is the instances of these horrific stories are rare. It's very, very rare that. Most people, most burglars, if they're going to break into your house, they want to do it when you're not there.
Right.
They don't want a confrontation. They want to steal your stuff. They don't want to have to try to, you know, deal with a dog or deal with you. Because if they do get caught, they're just going to spend longer time. It's just easier if you're not there.
Well, they don't want to
get shot. Thing with like,
and they don't want to shoot you, probably.
Yeah. It's the same thing with like terrorists, like acts of terrorism. Is they're so rare when you look at it like a larger scheme of things and you look at what actually kills us. But we spend hundreds of billions of dollars because of the horrific acts that, you know, that terrorist acts, you know, cause. It's like, I think the leading cause in America of death is it cancer or is it heart disease? I can't remember.
Well, the second leading cause now is suicide among, like, young men, I think.
Ooh, is it really? Jesus, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's something like that. Not to throw another grim blanket on this. Otherwise, cheery holiday podcast. I know. Well, the guy who... he was in the documentary, Bowling for Columbine, with Michael Moore. He wrote a book called The Culture of Fear. And fear sells more than anything else. And he talked about the rates of handgun sales went way up after 9/11. And he was like, if you think about it logically, what is a handgun going to do against a terrorist attack? It doesn't make any sense. Like, if you live in Duluth or I don't know, some other like kind of small place or whatever, like the terrorists are not attacking your town, you know, like. One thing's got nothing to do with the other, logically. But as you say, well, and he was saying, like, violent crime is at historic lows in this country. Yet the reporting of it is so far, it's like 600% more than
right. Used to. So everyone assumes that, you know, they're going to be the target of the next. Look, and I don't really have anything. If you want to own a firearm to defend yourself or you want a rifle to go hunting, more power to you. You know, not more power to you, but that's fine. I mean, but you look at statistics of like if you have children in the house and you have a firearm, they're, you know, X amount times likely to like shoot the firearm or either shoot you or shoot themselves. Rifle, not so much because it's a little, but for like assault, like automatics, like warfare weapons, like they can't even ban those. Like, do you need to take out a deer that, you know, with a gun that shoots, you know, 50 rounds a second? I don't even know if that's the right statistic, but like,
no.
Do you really need that? No, you don't.
I don't think you can. I don't think there's any practical purpose. But I know, like, if you ask people, well, do you need to own an M1 assault rifle that is only designed for killing people, for killing as many people as possible in the least amount of time, usually they revert to, well, it's my right. It's like, well, it's your right to drink vinegar. But, I mean, you don't do that, do you? Or gasoline or something. Like, yeah, it's your right. I know it's your right. But why do you feel the need to own one?
Yeah, like, it's also your right to, like, smoke meth or crack. You know, it's like, I mean, well, those are against illegal activities. But you can do that. If you do that, bad stuff's going to happen.
Yeah. So I
mean, it's perfectly legal to smoke cigarettes.
Sure.
It's perfectly legal to drink excessive alcohol.
Absolutely.
All of that stuff will eventually kill you.
Well, but that's the thing. It'll kill you. The problem with these weapons is they kill other people.
Well, you can also make a case that alcohol
could
very well kill other people. Domestic abuse.
Yes, absolutely.
DWI.
Right. And it's sort of like, okay, maybe you think it's your right, but now you're infringing on my right to feel safe. Because, like, I don't really feel safe if my neighbors have assault weapons. Like, I just, you know. Well, anyway, to get back to my original point, it's just like, why do you feel the need to own that? Like, those weapons are expensive. Like, why is it that you're, I mean, beyond your right, like, I get it, but, you know, again, like these people with, you know, with shopping, like, why do you, like, I don't know. It's sort of like we're all the victims of this grand experiment. Like, let's see how nuts we can actually make people by feeding them misinformation and making them terrified of everything. And, you know, it's like,
it's also we can sell more crap,
really?
And then
yeah.
Buy more storage units.
I mean, look at the industry now. We should look deeper into it with the smart bells. You know, it's connected to your phone. And
yes.
So people are constantly surveilling their house. I mean, honestly, if anyone wanted to break into this house, it would be a 12-year-old could break in here very easily. But the thing is, there's nothing in here that really, like, there's Waterford crystal. That's worth a bit of money. But I mean, all right, good luck getting it out of here. I mean, who's going to steal Waterford
crystal?
Well,
that's just it. Like
you know?
I live in a nice neighborhood. I have a nice house. But, like, the stuff in here?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, yes, it's worth some money, but it's there's nothing of, like, major, major value within the house.
I'm looking at my flat screen television. It is about 18 inches by 24 inches. And it's so old, it still has a DVD player in it, which is awesome.
Oof.
Yeah.
But even
so
if you went out and bought like a $1,000 flat screen TV, like that on the black market is probably worth a couple $100.
Maybe.
It's not even like it's a huge amount of money.
Well, plus, like, what is somebody going to come in here with like two people just to haul out a flat screen TV? I mean,
right. And then like like furniture, are they going to haul out the furniture?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess probably they would grab a phone and a laptop, which would suck if I left them here. But if I'm not here for an extended period of time, I take those things with me, generally speaking. So they're not in here. And yeah, I don't know. It's just home security and things like that. They account for a lot of people's spending. And I think, like, I don't know. Again, like, you're spending all this money on your stuff, then you're spending more money to try to protect it, and then you're getting insurance, and then you're getting storage units for the stuff you still can't fit in your house. Like, Jesus, where does it all end? I don't know.
All right, let's wrap this up. I'm sure we've lost the majority of our listeners.
I got to get down to the mall because
that's right.
Their shoes are on sale for 50% off. I got to get down there. It's not
you just saw an ad on TV, the last minute sale.
It's not hurry. About the buying. It's just about getting it from someone else. That's what it is, really, right there. You know, wrestling that package out of some grandma's hands. Oh.
You should really just go into any store where there's not like a really big Black Friday sale and just go up to the line and whatever someone's holding, just steal it out of their hands.
Grab it and run to the other side of the store.
It's like a dress.
Some lady's got her medications and whatnot. Just snatch them out of her hands and run over and get out.
That's the Black Friday way.
That's right. It's the American way, baby. All right, everybody. Well, I hope you're having an exhilarating Black Friday. I hope you're getting a lot of good deals. And let me tell you a great deal. The Working Experience Podcast doesn't cost you anything. And you don't
Zero.
Even have to leave your home.
And if you want to spend a couple of dollars, you can always go to Teespring and pick up our Homeo Industrious t-shirt.
Oh, I just got the four that I ordered. They're pretty nice t-shirts.
Oh, how are they fitting?
They look good. They look good. Yeah. I haven't tried them on because I'm giving them as gifts, for which my family is going to wholeheartedly resent me.
Such a self-serving gift.
They're like, yeah, but you are selling these. I'm like, well, yeah, so so what? It's still an awesome gift. I still had to pay for it, didn't I? Actually, that's weird, because the money is going into my pocket, isn't it? It is. Interesting. So, yeah, get yourself a t-shirt. Sign up for Patreon. You know, give it a little a buck. You get a lot of bang for your buck on our Patreon account, I think. Am I right?
A lot of bang.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Working Experience. We'd like to thank our sponsors, One Circle Media and the Still Believe app, the only app that delivers video proof of the Tooth Fairy and Santa by simply taking a picture. Download the app at stillbelieve.co today and amaze your kids. And if you work for a studio, network, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain your audience, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I would love to hear from you. And that's it. The end. The sweet end. Until our next audio encounter.